knows what it's like to be the bad man.
Welcome back to it on a Monday. On a Monday, here's a little something for you. Joe Biden is still the man to beat. By the way, he's 76 years old. He'll be 78 years old by the time the election of 2020 arrived, if he were to be elected. He'd be the oldest person elected for the first time to the presidency, that's for sure. I think he might even be older than Reagan the second time. I have to go look. I figure that out. At any rate, the great hope, the great young hope of what people are throwing out of there, Joe Biden for president and Beto O'Rourke for vice president. Biden, Beto. Good Lord. What a combination that would be, right? You got Biden on top, Beto on the bottom, and they think that is the big winner. Now, what has Beto O'Rourke done? Well, he raised $80 million. That's the key. He raised $80 million for a Senate race against Ted Cruz. Of course, he lost. But raising $80 million was quite an accomplishment, to say the least. So there you go. So thought I would share that with you. It's Joe Biden. It's Biden, Bernie, and Beto. It still hasn't changed. Our good friend Megan Barth with us now, the founder and proprietor of ReaganBabe.com. She loves them all. She does. Megan, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to you as well.
So is Biden your favorite? Are you more of a Bernie person? Are you kind of in that Beto camp? Where do you line up?
Well, I think a good ticket would be Biden, Beto, because then you'd have Grope and Hope right at the top of the ticket.
That's nicely played. Nicely played. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Now, didn't Beto, and forgive me if you mentioned this, but didn't Beto raise $80 million opposed to it all?
Oh, yeah. That's why
perfect
they love him.
Perfect Democrat.
Yeah. Raised $80 million, spent it all. Oh, and by the way, when asked by other Democrats, hey, are you going to help other Democrats out? No. I mean, he didn't even bat an eye. No, I'm not helping you or anybody. Get away from me. I'm not here to help you out. What do you think? This is a welfare system? Well, yeah, that's kind of what you support. It's kind of who you are as a person, but not this time around.
He's not a big fan of sharing the wealth as long as it's his wealth.
Correct.
And that, again, is a typical Democrat.
No, he wants to share your wealth.
Right. Yeah, everybody else's wealth, but not his own.
Exactly.
Right. And so Bernie. Okay, so we've got, if it was Bernie and Beto, if the Democrats were smart, I think Bernie and Beto could be a winning ticket. I've often said that Trump may not have won the Rust Belt if Bernie didn't get robbed of the nom by Hillary Clinton and Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
And why do you think that? I mean, I'm here. I don't know that Bernie, I mean, let's be honest. Hillary Clinton was supposed to win the primary in Michigan or whatever caucus by 20 points, and Bernie Sanders won. I mean, the polling was as bad in Michigan in the lead up to the 2016 election as anywhere. The polls were off by 20, 21 points. It was awful. Not even close.
Well, and they also had to flip a coin, and I think that was in Ohio. I think they had to do a coin toss, if I'm not mistaken. I know they also had to do another coin toss somewhere else. But I think, like you said, just from the polls, I think that Bernie could have had a better chance of taking maybe one state that Donald Trump had taken from Hillary.
I think he would have gotten Wisconsin. I think he had probably more left in Wisconsin than elsewhere, but that's just my thought. Carry on.
Yep, I don't disagree. And so I always thought the Democrats made the mistake of leading with the hag, but they did. They rigged the primary, and there you go. They lost. So I think a Bernie-Beto ticket might be better because you have this millennial uprising. And some of, when we look at the midterms, we look at the numbers, the midterms, more and more millennials had registered than ever before and voted forever ever before. And most millennials love socialism. They love Bernie. He had kind of a Woodstock following, if you recall. He was the only one, like Donald Trump, that was giving Trump a run for his money, especially when it came to packing, auditoriums.
That's right.
So when you look at how much movement he had on the ground, and when you look at his campaign of how much money he raised, and it was really from small donations, I thought he was a much better candidate than Hillary. And he might be a good candidate this time around, but he's going to have to explain, like Beto does, how you pay for these radical ideas like single-payer health care.
Well, you know, so, you say that, and you'd like to believe that, but I wonder if these people even care how it gets paid off. We're going to do this and this. It's those dirty rich people, those dirty rich, you know, which is weird because here you go. You tell these kids, go to college, work hard, make something of yourself. And then when they do, you attack them as being, well, you're too successful. You're part of the rich. You're terrible. You're awful. So you demonize the people after they do exactly what you tell them to. Be successful, work hard, go to school, become a doctor, a lawyer, a business, whatever. And then you're the devil.
Right, that is true. And so, you know, you have, here's, for example, Tom Steyer, and this happened in Nevada, but Tom Steyer is behind Next Gen, and he's also kind of thrown his hat into a potential presidential candidate as well. And he's a billionaire, he's a greedy, but he started Next Gen to get out the youth vote. And in Las Vegas here at UNLV, he literally had buses lined up for the students and rolled out the red carpet, literal red carpet, to have the students board the buses, and then those buses departed to the polls. These are the types of get-out-the-vote efforts that the left is doing, and doing extraordinarily well. And you know, I kind of look at that as electioneering, and look at it a little bit sideways, but it must be legal because nobody stopped them. And so the GOP could actually learn a little bit from the midterms. And we are going to have a tough time with millennials, and we're going to have a tough time for whatever reason with suburban women, because I guess suburban women likes this new polio-like illness that is spreading throughout their schools and attacking their kids. And oh, guess what? It's Honduran-born.
Yeah, that's where it comes. Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, I look at all this, and I wonder, you know, you talk about Tom Steyer, who's a radical leftist, Michael Bloomberg, pretty far left, also a billionaire. But you look at some of these folks that are really to the left, whether it's Cory Booker, who, by the way, is heterosexual. We got that out of the way. He came out as a heterosexual. Apparently, there was some question. I'm like, this is a headline. I'm like, yeah, this is a headline from The Hill. Cory Booker addresses speculation about his sexuality. I'm heterosexual. Okay. I didn't care then. I don't care if you're gay, straight, doesn't matter. If you're the best person for the job, we'll talk about it. And if you're not, well, then we won't talk about it. It's a little bit on the bizarre side. But I wonder how far to the left the candidates have to go in order to secure the nomination. I say that because of Bernie's run in 2016, and who was obviously to the far left, and Tom Steyer, who's obviously to the far left. But if somebody gets the nomination and they're that far left, can they ever win? We got about 30 seconds before the break. What do you think?
Oh, they're definitely going to have to go pretty far left. But I think Biden is being floated by the Democrats because they're like, well, we really don't want to go full-blown commie yet. You know, Biden will show that moderate working Joe that takes the train every day to work.
Yeah, sure he does.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Of course he does. All right, hold that thought right there. Megan Barthwood is the founder and proprietor of ReaganBabe.com. ReaganBabe.com, you can find out what she's writing, talking about. And coming up after the first of the year, you'll hear her here even more often. I'll tell you about that when we get closer. But she'll be bringing the heat here on the Michigan Talk Network. Will Megan Barth. It's 41 after on a Monday. Good to have you here. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Michigan residents are targeted for identity theft more often than the rest of the country. It's a fact. But did you know the Michigan Chamber has an identity theft protection solution designed to help Michigan Chamber members and their employees? It's true. And it's the best data protection you can get today. There are only two kinds of people, those that have had their data stolen and those that will. The Michigan Chamber is here to help you defend yourself and your employees from getting robbed. Go to stevegruber.com. Click on the Michigan Chamber logo to learn more and get started. Protect yourself with the Michigan Chamber Identity Theft Protection Solution.
Jesse.
Let's go, guys.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pretty obvious.
Yeah, obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who